May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So first of all, I would like to thank the members of this cathedral congregation for your role in erecting the Afghan memorial across the street there. It stands as a stark reminder that we have not yet achieved that vision of universal peace we heard about in the reading from Micah this morning. Imagine if the resources that went behind the military effort in Afghanistan had been redirected to agriculture and the economy, what could have been accomplished there. But we live in hope. I was at the unveiling of the Afghan memorial there a few weeks ago, and it was a moving and substantial tribute to those who served in Afghanistan. And I particularly noted the presence of the sacred there. Our dean, Ansley, was vested and said a prayer. There was a representative from the Roman Catholic Church who also prayed, as did a reserve military chaplain, Jim Short, who was in Afghanistan during part of my tour. An elder from the Songhees drummed and sang a welcome song. There was a lot of prayer at that memorial unveiling there a few weeks ago. And a couple of weeks later, I noted that the memorial was used as the backdrop for the launching of a new trauma resiliency program for wounded warriors. So it looks like it's already being used, and I hope that in the future it will be used for things like that more and more again. And I'd also like to thank the dean and Sue for inviting me to speak to you this morning on Remembrance Sunday. I'm a recently retired military chaplain. I served in Afghanistan over the years 2008-2009. But for the last couple of years, I've worked in the office of the Chaplain General in Ottawa. And so before I go completely out of date, I would like to touch on a couple of issues that have preoccupied the Chaplain General for these last few years and are loosely associated with the Afghan Memorial: public prayer and resiliency. So public prayer. On the 11th of November, at cenotaphs across the country, people will gather around these cenotaphs, troops will form up, speeches will happen, and a chaplain or a member of the clergy will say a prayer. At the cenotaph here in Esquimalt, the Naden Band will likely be there and play Eternal Father, Strong to Save, and Faith of Our Fathers, and so on. It's a reminder that at these ceremonies, there's a dimension of the sacred. There's a moment of the sacred, and the presence of a chaplain or clergy person saying a public prayer is a visible reminder of that. For me, during these moments, when I'm standing there, I get the sense that I'm surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, of those who have served and sacrificed in ages before me. Now, Remembrance Day is probably the biggest and most familiar of these ceremonies in Canada, but there are others throughout the year. The Battle of Atlantic on the first Sunday of May is particularly important for a Navy town like Victoria. But this year, in 2017, one of the ceremonies that was high profile was the Battle of Vimy Ridge. And that was because on the 9th of April marked the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Vimy Ridge. And I was given the honor and privilege of being the chaplain to say the prayer at the National War Memorial in Ottawa. It's a task normally reserved for the Chaplain General, but he was in France with the Prime Minister and the other bigwigs, so I got the opportunity to do that ceremony. And it was broadcast on national television, and the next day my sister called me up to say that she had watched the ceremony. So I thought that she was going to be very proud of her big brother, who was televised from the nation's capital and so on. But I was wrong. She was upset because she had not heard the word of God or Jesus in my prayer. Now, my sister attends a fairly conservative Baptist church in Nanaimo, and they had had a Bible study that evening, and this was apparently a topic of some concern. And she'd wondered if the government had muzzled me or something like that. So my sister, family dynamics, you know, my sister is wonderful, and she helps me always keep my feet firmly planted on the ground. But she represents a segment of the population that is concerned, that feels that their faith, their Christian faith, but particularly their Christian faith, is threatened by forces of secularism and pluralism and so on. And so it's a concern, I think, that needs to be taken seriously. So I assured her, and I assure you, that the government did not muzzle me or in any way dictate what I should or should not say in my prayer. These events are organized by Veterans Affairs, and there's no ceremonial reason why there should be a prayer there at all. They want one, and so they sent an invitation to the office of the Chaplain General. Can you please provide a chaplain to say a prayer? It was as simple as that. Having said that, as I mentioned earlier, public prayer has been a preoccupation of the Office of the Chaplain General, specifically since April 2015, when the Supreme Court of Canada ruled unanimously in favor of Monsieur Simoneau over Monsieur Tremblay, who was the mayor of Saguenay. Now, the mayor of Saguenay was in the habit of beginning town council meetings with a prayer which ended in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They would sign the cross. Probably didn't help there was a crucifix on the wall as well. But Monsieur Simoneau is an atheist, and he took offense at this. So the mayor of Saguenay told him if he didn't like it, he could leave the room while they prayed and come back after the prayer was over. Well, Monsieur Simoneau challenged this. It got to the Supreme Court of Canada, and the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in Monsieur Simoneau's favor on the basis that governments must maintain neutrality when it comes to religious expression. This caught the attention of the Chaplain General, and his policy staff has been working very hard, and particularly my good friend, Dr. Martin Poetti, has been working very hard at drafting a policy on public prayer for the Chief of the Defense Staff. Now, the lawyers, I must say, the military lawyers have advised the Chief of Defense Staff that all public prayer should cease and desist in the light of the Supreme Court ruling. But so far, the CDS has sided with the chaplains, and prayer will continue until further notice. Having said that, chaplains are very sensitive to this current dynamic. We believe that many, if not most, of the people in attendance at these ceremonies do want a moment of the sacred at these ceremonies. But we also respect that there will be a diverse group of people with a wide spectrum of belief at these public ceremonies. So chaplains have come up with a kind of a general formula for these prayers to try and respect both of these concerns. So for example, to begin a prayer, instead of using the imperative like we do here, let us pray, we'll use a form of an invitation that goes something like this. For those who wish to pray, I invite you to join me over the next few moments to pray. For those who would prefer not to pray, I invite you to spend a few moments in quiet contemplation, reflecting on the meaning of this event. And then, at the end of the prayer, instead of using a Trinitarian or a Christological formula, we'll simply say Amen, or as sometimes I'll say, in God's holy name we pray, Amen. So it's an invitation that attempts to be as inclusive as possible to all present while still maintaining the sacredness of the moment. And as I tried to reassure my sister, it's still a prayer. So public prayer, it's been a concern of the Chaplain General. The second preoccupation I'll just speak about very briefly has been spiritual resilience. Resilience is a buzzword today, but it generally refers to a person's ability to bounce back or to even thrive in the face of adversity. Now, the Canadian Forces has always been very keen on physical fitness, but there's an increasing awareness that there's a more holistic approach to fitness, that we need a more holistic approach to fitness. You may be able to run a marathon or march 40K with a rucksack on your back, but if you're emotionally, mentally, or spiritually injured, you're still a casualty. So the Canadian Forces is developing a more holistic health and wellness approach, and the Army is well ahead of the game. Of course, the Army learned some very painful lessons during the war in Afghanistan, but they've developed a program called Mission Ready. And Mission Ready is a fitness program based with six pillars, physical, familial, social, intellectual, financial, and spiritual. Never have I seen spirituality as a part of a fitness program in the military before, but there it is, spiritual fitness. And spiritual fitness includes things like belonging to a faith community, the capacity to give and receive forgiveness, being connected to the transcendent, maintaining a hopeful orientation to the future, and finding a meaning and purpose in life. And the chaplain service has been working very hard at trying to find ways to support this spiritual pillar in this fitness program. And we now have a number of tools that can be incorporated into military training to strengthen spiritual fitness. It's one pillar in a holistic approach to ready the soldier for the mission. Gathering the community, connecting to the transcendent, forgiveness, hope, and meaning. Well, it sounds a lot like Sunday worship to me. These are all themes that we'll encounter this morning in our liturgy this morning. So you're probably fitter than you think. Public prayer and spiritual resilience. These are themes that have occupied, that have been priorities at the Office of the Chaplain General for the last couple of years. But I think they're also relevant for us. We identify ourselves as the cathedral for the city and have been called upon to offer this as a sacred space for public ceremony. So how we handle prayer that's both true and faithful to our own tradition and also respectful of diversity, I think, is part of our witness to a God who transcends all forms of belief. And on Remembrance Day, we recall moments in our history when we faced serious national adversity, but each one of us faces adversity in our own personal lives from time to time. And when we gather week by week here at this cathedral, we strengthen our spirituality and build resilience to help us face the trials that life may bring our way. And in the meantime, we work and pray and hope for that vision of Micah. When many nations will go up to the mountain of the Lord, when they will beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and neither shall they learn war anymore. They shall all sit under their own fig trees and their own vines, and no one will make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen.